Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, and you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, The Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 23rd of March, 2024, and the title of today's show is New World Order Surrender, More Royal Family Fakes, COVID Scam Implodes. So there's far more going on this week than I've got the time to cover in today's show, as usual. But what I've focused on this week, again, is the Ben Fulford Weekly Report, which I'll share with you, but also these strange goings on with the royal family and lots of really good news about the aftermath of the COVID scamdemic. So Ben Fulford reports the rules-based world order faction has surrendered. This was published on the 18th, of course, Monday, so I'm sure he'll have a lot more to report on this week's goings-on in his next report. But let's see what he has to say on the global front. The Mega Black Swan event predicted for March 15th actually did take place, as will become increasingly obvious over the coming days and months. The Khazarian Mafia's so-called rules-based world order has surrendered, according to Asian Secret Society and White Dragon sources. The hybrid war for control of the planet Earth that has been raging at least since September 11, 2001, is thus ending. This came as a White Dragon Society representative hand-delivered a declaration of war against the Japanese government. The declaration said the government was controlled by foreign gangsters who murdered over 400,000 Japanese citizens with vaccines. Demands include the expulsion of fake US Ambassador Rahm Emanuel and all foreign, quote, Japan handlers, end quote. It calls for the formation of an emergency government under the Japanese royal family. It also calls for the nationalisation of the Bank of Japan, a jubilee, the reinstatement of the Economic Planning Agency, and more. The imminent move in Japan comes after Chinese authorities arrested 726,000 people last year, a jump of 47.1% from the previous year, amid a crackdown on crimes linked to hostile foreign forces. In a public sign the Khazarian Mafia is surrendering, Pope Francis said Ukraine should have the courage to wave the white flag of surrender to Russia and the Planetary Liberation Alliance. EU High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, Josep Borrell, also confirmed the KM surrender when he wrote on his blog, "If the current global geopolitical tensions continue to evolve in the direction of the West against the rest, Europe's future risks to be bleak. The era of Western dominance has indeed definitely ended." In further sign the KM-controlled US regime is finished, Russian President Vladimir Putin says Washington has become a laughingstock of the rest of the world. Quote, "I think it's obvious to everyone that the American political system cannot claim to be democratic in any sense of the word and is becoming increasingly uncivilized," end quote. Yet another sign came on March 11th, the anniversary of the Fukushima terror attack, when the Federal Reserve Board stopped bailing out banks. And it shows a press release from the 24th of January. Federal Reserve Board announces the Bank Term Funding Program, BTFP, will cease making new loans as scheduled on March 11th. This means most of the major Western banks are now de facto bankrupt. That is why all major CEOs are selling their stocks, many commentators agree. Oops, even old Warren Buffett wants out before the collapse. IRS data reportedly shows Buffett traded Berkshire stocks in personal account, according to ProPublica. Warren Buffett was allegedly front-running or trading stocks in his personal account that his conglomerate Berkshire Hathaway was buying and selling. This is a practice that he himself in the past deemed a conflict of interest, according to ProPublica on Thursday. It's more than that, it is illegal. All this is happening because behind the scenes on March 15th, an Asian royal was officially designated as the new M1 or controller of the financial system, according to Asian secret society sources. Christine Lagarde is president of the European Central Bank because she agreed to take orders from the new M1, they add. The sources say confirmation of change will come when Goldman Sachs announces their departure from Japan on April 15th. This is a mega black swan event for many reasons. A change in control of the financial system is a change in control of the process of deciding what humanity will do in the future. For one thing, it marks the end of a millennia-old project by the families who control monotheism to impose a god-king of their lineage on the entire planet. On a shorter time span, it marks the end of a Freemason project started in 1717 to destroy Russia as a prelude to subjugating China. It also marks the end of 80 years of the post-World War II Western-dominated international system. On an even closer focus, it marks the end of the unipolar world dominance the US enjoyed since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991. Gnostic Illuminati sources say what has happened is beyond biblical in scale, because it means the end of a war against fallen angels that has been raging for 26,000 years. However, on a here and now level, change will appear more slowly because turning around a plan that has been in motion for at least decades is not something that can be done overnight. For example, the planning for the 2020 to 2023 scamdemic started 45 years earlier, as can be seen by World Bank reports from 1975. The hunger crisis the elites are now trying to create also dates back at least as far. This means decades of laws, preparation by corporations, and brainwashing of elite servants need to be dealt with. Nonetheless, meetings are being held to determine how to spend trillions of dollars for the benefit of humanity and the planet's other living creatures. Representatives of the WDS, Asian royals, and CEO of a major international bank are meeting this week to discuss plans to release at least $1 trillion for setting up a future planning organization. There will be a press conference to announce this as soon as the funds are confirmed. In the meanwhile, the current Western political stroke economic system continues to circle the drain. For example, recent discussions at the UN and the World Health Organization display depopulation plans disguised as things like LGBT rights and women's health. WHO guidelines for the health of transgender and gender diverse people are being decided by commission members who almost all have financial ties to organizations that profit from the gender reassignment procedure, according to the Citizen Go Pro-Life group. These guidelines promote harmful drugs and irreversible gender reassignment surgery, castration and sterilization for children and young people. Meanwhile, the goals of the UN Commission on the Status of Women this year are the promotion of trans ideology and the pursuit of universal access to abortion. They continually promote the extreme ideas that women cannot be defined by biology and that gender is a social construct. doing so, they significantly harm women around the world and put many of them at risk, Polish intelligence sources say. The result is women in KM-controlled countries like Sweden, Japan and South Korea have never had so few children as in 2023. In Sweden, based on the childbearing gap, Yasir Qadhi, a Pakistani-born American theologian, predicts that in just one generation, half the population will be Muslim. This is the result of long-term KM plans to reduce the world population, especially the European population. Their plan calls for dumbing down the majority of the world's population to turn them into farm animals for members of their tribe. There is serious blowback coming. Dr. Alan Sabrowski, former director of studies at the U.S. Army War College, says the system we live in today is completely dominated by the Zionists from every angle, be that politics, education, finance, or media. This is the reality and something that the masses need to come to terms with. The Zionists are behind the creation of nearly every worldwide problem. For centuries, they've been trying to control nations for their own benefit. That control is ending. The attempt to use Ukraine to subjugate Russia has ended in defeat, failure, and bankruptcy. Now it's Israel's turn. The recent genocide in Gaza was the last straw. Israel's power, based on the myth that Jews are incompatible with fascism, has collapsed. From now on, it will be possible to exhume all the crimes committed by this tiny group on behalf of the CIA during the Cold War in the Middle East, Africa, and Latin America, writes French journalist Thierry Messin. War crimes tribunals are coming. Some 650 Chilean lawyers have filed a legal complaint at the International Criminal Court, ICC, against Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu for committing genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip. The US government has been forced to stop its support of Israel after the BRICS coalition of more than 80% of the world's people threatened it with sanctions and a boycott. In a sign of this boycott, BRICS is considering creating a form of mutual settlements similar to that of the early European Union. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister, Russia's Sherpa in the BRICS, Sergei Ryabkov, said, "That's why the US government said in the annual threat assessment report, Netanyahu's viability as a leader, as well as his governing coalition of far-right and ultra-Orthodox parties that pursue hardline policies on Palestinian and security issues, may be in doubt. Even Zionist Jewish American leaders are abandoning the Netanyahu regime." As a Mossad source comments, "Wow, Zionist Chuck Schumer is calling for new elections. It seems that Bibi's days are about over," after Schumer said, "Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah." A final confrontation is coming. US officials are saying an Israeli military operation in Rafah would likely lead to an end to US defense of Israel at the United Nations. Netanyahu, meanwhile, has effectively said his red line is that Israel must go into Rafah. In other words, he will fight to the death, and it will be his death. Russian FSB sources tell us Iran and Russia have cleared the airspace over Syria in preparation for more direct action against Israel and the US. Iran has suspended all flights to Syria indefinitely. The current fake US government is in no position to stop this, since it does not control the military and is itself circling the drain. Here is the latest from the walking dead fake US President Joe Biden. He is spouting nonsense like, "We have among the lowest inflation rates of any country in America," and that his government has added a record 15 million new jobs. This Biden actor is apparently wearing GPS shoes. Meanwhile, a screenshot from a now-deleted website shows the real Biden is lying dead in his grave. And yet, the US government shit show continues. The latest about the staged January 6 KM Deep State event is the 88 pages of ATF records from the DOJ in a lawsuit show the CIA deployed personnel to Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021. Then there is the ongoing farce of legal cases against U.S. President Donald Trump. Georgia Judge McAfee rules Fannie Willis can continue her racketeering case against President Trump despite lying in court about her affair. Kash Patel on True Social says, pursuant to Fannie ruling, prosecutors in America can 1. Lie to the presiding judge, 2. Bed the chief prosecutor in a case they are on, 3. Make thousands of dollars off of your prosecutions, 4. Withhold all the above unethical stroke unlawful conduct from the judge, and 5. Lie under oath to the judge about your actions without any punishment. Swamp BC and CNN loving this ruling for the same jacked-up political thuggery this judge just displayed. Two tiers of justice and a disgusting display for American youth to aspire to. That's the end of the post. The KM-controlled deep state Dems are really scared that Trump will do to them what they have been doing to him and many of his supporters, a Pentagon source comments. The former president has openly said he intends to weaponize the Department of Justice against his enemies, VP Harris said about Trump. The fact is, the vast majority of Americans don't want to have anything to do with either faction. Recent polls show only 16% of Americans have confidence in the federal government. This is down from 77% in 1964 and 54% in 2001. No surprise. The 16% support is also around the percentage of US military jets that are combat ready. A September 2023 Government Accountability Office GAO report on the F-35 revealed that only 15 to 30% of F-35s may be capable of combat. No wonder there's a big movement of people refusing to pay their taxes. The situation is leading to heavy infighting amongst the oligarchs who de facto run the US corporation. This is seen in what appears to be a campaign to destroy Boeing aircraft. In the latest news, John Barnett, a whistleblower who had been involved in a lawsuit against Boeing, lawyers for a Boeing whistleblower found dead on the day he was due to testify against the jetliner giant, are questioning that he killed himself in a South Carolina parking lot and calling for an investigation. There is also a huge war to control cyberspace in the US. This pits Larry Ellison, CIA White Hats, behind TikTok, plus Elon Musk, US military white hates, and X versus Larry Page, the Rockefellers and Bill Gates behind Google, Meta, Instagram and Messenger. In confirmation of what Russian FSB sources told us about Musk being a front for the US National Reconnaissance Office, SpaceX, led by Elon Musk, is in the process of building hundreds of spy satellites. While the US oligarchs duke it out, Russia is on the offensive. The Western elites have a great desire to freeze the current unjust situation in international affairs. For centuries, they've become used to stuffing their stomachs with human flesh and their pockets with money. The vampire ball is coming to an end, says Putin. Polish intelligence informs us Russia is about to send an ultimatum to seven capitals. This apparently includes a demand for the return to Russia of the Baltic states. Meanwhile, an undeclared civil war is raging in Poland. The government there just used agents provocateurs throwing stones at police as a pretext for a brutal attack on a farmers' protest in front of the Parliament of the Republic of Poland. A civil war is coming. Farmers will attack the government, Polish sources say. A farmer knows better how to cultivate the land, not an official in Brussels, who wants to impose on him how to take care of his soil and the environment. If a farmer did not take care of his land, he would not be today our agriculture in Poland and in the European Union, says the farmer, Vice Minister of Agriculture, Michał Golodziejczak. There is also a revolution fully underway in the French-speaking world. The change of elites in Francophone West Africa, which began in 2021, has stripped Paris of much of its traditional political and economic influence in the region, not to mention its prominent military presence. The French military is now pulled out of Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and the Central African Republic. Meanwhile, the Russian armed forces established its African corps. Apparently, it is the loss of looted African resources that has led French President Emmanuel Macron to tell his people French intervention in Ukraine cannot be ruled out, and France will do everything to make sure Russia doesn't win. Of course, the French all know Macron is a former male prostitute married to his uncle, Brigitte. Now the rest of the world is catching on. Conservative commentator Candice Owens says, I would stake my entire professional reputation on the fact that Brigitte Macron is in fact a man. Meanwhile, the Satanists are making another last stand on the Francophone island of Haiti. A major Satanist who has been hidden came out in full view there. Gilbert Bigeau, Haiti's only billionaire oligarch, a Syrian Jew, has emerged as the mastermind behind all the mayhem and misery now unfolding on that island. By the way, the Rockefellers are also Syrian, or rather Assyrian Jews. The Assyrians worship Ashur, the god of war, also known as Baal or Satan. In a sign of how deep and ancient this is, look at the ancient graven images for this god found in places as far apart as Mesopotamia and Ecuador. The Rockefeller-controlled Clinton Foundation were in charge of the $13-plus billion in aid to rebuild Haiti back when it was hit with an earthquake weapon in 2010. Bill Clinton used the phrase, build Haiti back better. The Haitian people never saw that money, and now their country is ruled by cannibal gangs. This is what the Dems mean when they say build back better. They do not care about helping the needy. They are only interested in enriching themselves under the guise of foreign aid. French military sources tell us Rockefeller agent Bibio has hired US special forces to grab children and harvest adrenochrome in Haiti. In corroborating evidence, the Miami Herald tells us Bibio bought Jeffrey Epstein's $132,000 Mercedes. He has been accused by the Canadian Foreign Ministry, along with two other super wealthy Haitians, of using economic power to protect and enable the illegal activities of the armed criminal gangs that are tearing the country apart. Canadian special forces are now in Haiti fighting against the Rockefeller satanic proxies, according to French military intelligence sources. Here is the Rockefeller's man Barbecue, the new leader of Haiti after the real leader was forced to step down. Notice his hand signal and necklace, of course, and in the image it shows he's doing the devil horn sign with his hand. And his necklace, or medallion, is the symbol of the Freemasons. To understand how evil these people are, there's a video that shows a cannibal eating a human barbecue in Haiti. Now they plan to send these cannibals to the US. DOD officials say they are alerted about a potential maritime mass migration from Haiti into the United States. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is deploying law enforcement officers and an air and sea fleet to Florida's southern waters to help curb a potential wave of these Haitian immigrants. Incidentally, I saw a report this morning that's saying the South Florida beaches are being overrun by illegal immigrants. Anyway, continuing on, it turns out that another reason for the Rockefeller and UN ongoing occupation in Haiti and the collapse of the state is to go after iridium deposits there. One ton of iridium is worth $45 billion, and Haiti has mountains of it, says Haiti expert Azili Danto. Apparently, iridium is essential for space activity, which apparently the KM hopes to use to prevent themselves from being hung for their medical and other crimes. They are getting desperate as more and more people figure out, first they inject you with a cancer-causing experimental jab, and then they profit from charging you for cancer treatments. Now J&J will acquire cancer drug developer Ambrx Biopharma for $2 billion. Pfizer has also jumped into the cancer business. This is to harvest $33.3 billion in revenue from excess cancer caused by the COVID vaccine. This sort of crime has prompted British Member of Parliament Andrew Bridgen to call for Bill Gates and the elite COVID cabal to face the death penalty for alleged crimes against humanity during the COVID pandemic. Can we have a debate on crimes against humanity and the appropriate punishment for those who perpetrate, collude and cover up for these atrocities? Continued Bridgen. Atrocities and crimes that are so severe that the ultimate punishment may be required. One of these criminals, Canadian Crime Minister Pierre Castrudeau, is so scared he is trying to pass a law to make online hate, i.e. truth, punishable up to life in prison. This came after 20 plaintiffs filed a $2.2 million class action lawsuit against Trudeau, the RCMP and various other entities for violating their charter rights by illegally invoking and enforcing the Emergencies Act and seizing their bank accounts. It looks like many British royals have already faced the ultimate penalty. The BBC has reportedly been notified to watch out for an, quote, extremely important, end quote, royal announcement at any moment. As we have already reported, a whole slew of British royals have vanished. Now, just as this report was about to go live, Canadian intelligence sent us the following. The Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, was murdered in an Illuminati blood sacrifice, according to Princess Diana's best friend, who also revealed the ritual killing had long been planned as part of the royal family's dark occult traditions. The fact that Kate will be offed has been an open secret among the British aristocracy for years, according to Christine Fitzgerald, who claims that just like her friend Princess Diana, Middleton was carefully chosen for the sacrificial role due to her personality and bloodline. As the public in Britain and around the world demand the royal family release proof of life, the woman who was once Diana's best friend is urging the world to wake up to the dark truth about the Luciferian House of Windsor. As this happens, the British reveal their directed energy weapon technology to the world. The declassified footage below reveals Britain's Dragonfire laser weapon. It can destroy drones and hypersonic missiles instantly at £10 per shot. It also looks like even more fearsome things are being planned by the KM for April. It turns out the Oklahoma National Guard will deploy guardsmen for the total solar eclipse on April 8th, which is an important Jewish holy day. On that day, a team of 22 elite members from the chemical, biological, radiological and nuclear units will be stationed. Residents are advised to prepare by stocking up on 1 to 2 weeks' worth of food ahead of the event. Due to the potential for communication facilities to become overloaded, making cell phone calls might be challenging. Hundreds of schools in path of total solar eclipse cancel classes over safety concerns. This eclipse cuts across the United States of America, Mexico, and Canada. It will go over more metropolitan areas in one path than any other eclipse in the history of the Western Hemisphere. As a CIA source comments, there is definitely something going on here. Will the power grid go down? All cell phone services going offline? April 8th is a total solar eclipse. Also, it turns out, we are currently in the 322nd year of Yale, College of Skull and Bones 322, and this solar eclipse will last 3 minutes and 22 seconds. To add icing to the cake, they're telling us a devil comet will be visible to the naked eye during the solar eclipse. Operation Bluebeam, anyone? Now on to the British royal family. And it's interesting that Christine Fitzgerald should say that Kate Middleton was murdered in an Illuminati blood sacrifice. And Greg Rees has put out an article, this was on the 22nd, The British Royals and the Reptilians. And I'm sure very many of my listeners know the true story about the British royal family. This is really just highlighting exactly what crimes they've committed. The article says one of the most monstrous families on earth is fading away. The British royal family, who own over 16% of the entire planet, seems to be falling apart, which is nothing to mourn, for they are one of the most monstrous families on earth. In 1964, the Queen and Prince Philip visited a school in British Columbia. Former resident William Coombs claims that 10 of his classmates were taken by the Queen and Prince Philip, never to be seen again. The notorious pedophile and necrophiliac Jimmy Savile was close friends with the royal family. Charles wanted him to be Prince Harry's godfather. He was awarded the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire in 1971 and knighted by the Queen in 1990. Prince Andrew has been a regular at Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island. King Charles was close friends with a bishop who was convicted of raping over a dozen boys. A former student of Aldenham School claims that students were routinely raped and tortured by members of the Worshipful Company of Brewers, which was frequented by Jimmy Savile, King Charles, and Lord Mountbatten, who has been accused of raping an 11-year-old boy. Jeanette Archer says she was abused by the royals as a young child and says that they are reptilians. According to Princess Diana's friend, Christine Fitzgerald, Diana's nickname for the Windsors was the Reptiles and used to say that they are not human. While this may sound strange, most royal bloodlines in history were said to be the offspring of reptilians, often described as dragon or serpent people. I'm not going to read the rest of this article because it does get rather graphic, but I want to just update you on what's been going on with the royal family this week, particularly relating to Kate Middleton. And they put out yet another image, which was very suspect as well. Last week, I did mention that people were very suspicious about the things they'd already seen, and people were asking for Kate Middleton to appear as proof of life. And I'm going to just cover this article from Slay about the image that they put out of Prince William, first of all. This was on the 20th. Corporate media caught pushing fake AI-generated image of Prince William. The UK's corporate media has been caught publishing fake images of Prince William that appear to be generated by AI. The move comes amid mounting speculation regarding William's wife, Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales. On Tuesday, the future king reportedly visited Sheffield in the north of England to meet locals working in and impacted by homelessness. However, eagle-eyed social media users noticed that one of the images has a defect that suggested it had been AI-generated, and it was a post from Shadow of Ezra on X. New photos of Prince William. Is something strange going on with his hands? And I must say, the hands in the image do look decidedly weird. The image was published by major media outlets who claimed it was a photo taken during William's visit. The image was published by The Sun, and The Sun credits Andrew Parsons / Kensington Palace for the image. Kensington Palace has yet to comment on the image. The news comes amid growing concerns about the Princess of Wales, who has not been seen publicly since Christmas. Earlier this week, the media attempted to quell rumours about Kate's apparent disappearance by publishing a video of a sighting of the princess. The media claimed the video was of Prince William and Kate during a trip to a local farm store. However, social media users were quick to point out that the woman in the video wasn't Kate and appeared to be a lookalike. On Monday, TMZ and The Sun posted alleged videos and photos of the Princess of Wales's visit. On Sunday, The Sun cited witnesses to report that Middleton and Prince William were spotted supporting their children in a sports event near their Windsor residence. Visuals were not published in the report. However, TMZ on Monday posted images on Monday claiming they were from her visit to the Windsor farm shop. The Sun report added that Middleton looked happy, relaxed and healthy in the store. TMZ quoted an eyewitness as saying, "I noticed a couple choosing loaves of bread and the woman turned her face and I felt like I had seen the face before. It was familiar. I knew it from somewhere. I went to my car and as they came out of the shop, I just filmed them," he added, according to the report. "I think they walked out through a gate out of the grounds. They just vanished. I didn't see a car. I just wanted to share with my family footage and show just how normal they were." Following the initial report, many cast doubt as to why nobody took photos of the royal couple during their visit to the store. Shortly after, the video emerged that cast further doubt on the claims. Social media users were quick to point out that the woman in the videos was not Kate Middleton. TMZ, who published the first fake picture of Kate in the car with Carol Middleton, just released this video of Kate and William, only the woman is not Kate, one person said on X. "I might have to tap out of this whole Kate Middleton thing because I genuinely, hand on heart, do not think these pics look like the same woman, and it's making me feel like I'm losing my mind," another one added. "Like, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but that is not her." Middleton is expected to address the rumours about her health and absence in an event soon, several reports say. Middleton has been missing from the public eye since her mysterious abdominal surgery in January. She last attended an event in December last year. The 42-year-old's absence and health have been the subject of mounting concerns and speculation. To celebrate the UK's Mother's Day earlier this month, Kensington Palace published an image of Kate with her children. However, a kill order was issued to media outlets shortly after due to the image being manipulated. It emerged that the photo had been doctored at the source. And it's weird that they didn't kill the image with Prince William's strange-looking hands. One of the things not mentioned in the article was that many people on X had pointed out that it looked like whenever this video was taken, it wasn't current because it had these wooden sheds that were decorated for Christmas and that are only there during the Christmas period. So the whole thing seems completely fake, not to mention the fact they didn't look anything like William and Kate. And then, as Ben Fulford reported, we had the prediction that there was going to be a major announcement made about Kate. And that was closely followed by the release of another video where Kate Middleton announced that she'd been diagnosed with cancer. And again, you know, the truthers on X went after this like a duck on a June bug, as the saying goes, because it was highly suspicious and looked very much like it was AI generated. And I've got a little section in a report by Jeff Childers, and he has the Coffee and COVID on Substack report. This was actually today that this came out, and he's got a bit of a narrative on the situation with the royal family that I'm going to share with you. This is turning out to be a very bad, horrible, no good year for the royal family, possibly their worst year in modern history, except maybe years with major wars. Yesterday piled on the year's tragic trend with some nasty self-inflicted ethical injuries and cancer. The first distressing news appeared in an exclusive article in Touch headlined King Charles given 2 years to live with pancreatic cancer. About 6 weeks ago, the royals began dealing the first cards in their pack of lies. On February 5th, they announced UK's monarch diagnosis with an unspecified form of cancer, but definitely not prostate cancer, accidentally discovered during a different routine prostate procedure. At the time, we were told Charles's prognosis was excellent and they were optimistic about his treatment. While the In Touch exclusive is not an official announcement, Buckingham Palace has uncharacteristically been silent about the report. They haven't contradicted it. For now, it looks like a targeted, limited hangout. People ran another tragic monarchical story yesterday, headlined, Kate Middleton reveals she has cancer and is getting chemo, says it has, quote, taken time, end quote, to tell her kids. Following weeks of mounting controversy, including the palace being caught lying and apparently faking previous photos, the popular Princess of Wales made an unusual but heartfelt video yesterday, soberly confirming she is, after all, being treated for cancer, type unspecified, and putting the lie to all the prior official reports denying that same fact. Until yesterday, the palace had claimed it was definitely not cancer. Now the royals are trying to thread their needle of dishonesty by claiming Kate's operation wasn't related to cancer and somehow the accidentally discovered cancer showed up later on post-operative tests, so there was a period of time where they just didn't realise they were spreading misinformation. So they didn't lie, not really. Except it's still a lie. Even if you believe their goofy, we didn't know excuse, I am deeply sceptical, they'd been so firm that her diagnosis was not cancer that they had a moral duty to correct the record when they did learn about the cancer. Otherwise, it's called a lie of omission. In her video, Kate explained the bizarre series of events that allegedly led to the accidental discovery of her cancer. Tests after the operation? I could understand tests before the operation, but why after? Unless you suspect something. Who randomly tests a healthy young woman for cancer after a successful abdominal surgery that was for something besides cancer? Did they give her a whole panel of tests? Did they also test her for gonorrhea and whirling fish disease? I'm not saying it didn't happen, it just requires more explanation than provided to the public thus far. Having said all that, I must also comment on the brewing controversy over the authenticity of Kate's latest video. I'd normally abstain from speculating, but the Royal Palace has earned heightened scepticism from its previous lying and photo doctoring. There are some truly weird things about that video beyond mere general feelings of distrust and conspiracy seeking. Here are the problems that jumped out at me. There could be good explanations for all of them. First, where is Kate's supportive husband, William, who has been such a comfort to her? Second, come on, that garden is a fake green screen backdrop. Why use a green screen? Third, her left eyebrow looks crazed and it doesn't move naturally. Or her makeup girl had a seizure when darkening Kate's left brow. Fourth, the shadow just to her right shoulder includes stripes from her sweater, which is physics from an alternative dimension. Or maybe it's a lighting artifact from an indoor studio with multiple spots. Finally, the bench slats on Kate's right side are twice as fat as those to her left. From a weird camera perspective, perhaps? So is it a deep fake AI-generated video? Who knows? We do know that both cancer diagnoses are tragic and we pray for fast recoveries for Kate and the King. But they really need to repent from all the lying. and the media has become immorally complicit with its passive acceptance of all this royal deception and dishonesty. And the fact that we have slid into expecting our institutions not to tell the truth or to tell half-truths or to gaslight everybody is also a telling sign of how ethically threadbare our culture has become. We should require higher moral standards from our institutions and call them out when they lie. Tell the truth will set you free. And finally, yes, it looks to me like the royal family is being wiped out by jab injuries. All the following health problems have occurred after at least two publicly reported jabs for each royal personage. Prince Philip, 99, died, cardiac and weird infection. The Queen, 96, died from bone cancer. Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, Fergie, 64, has now survived two post-jab cancers, breast cancer, mastectomy, and malignant melanomas lopped off. And now King Charles, 75, suddenly and unexpectedly has fatal prostate cancer, and the young, healthy Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, 42, has an unnamed, sudden and unexpected cancer that appears aggressive. Both Kate's and the King's cancers were accidentally discovered during other routine medical treatment, but both were so serious they required immediate disabling levels of cancer treatment, which means the cancers are the turbo kind. In other words, the new cancers look just like what we have learned to expect from jab-induced turbo cancer. The fact they're still trying to hide it proves that Big Pharma is now more powerful than the royal family. So, well, I'm not sure I agree with that because I don't believe that the elites ever took the vaccine because Charles is part of the WEF, of course. He'd be well aware of all the plans for the scamdemic and the kill shot. So I don't believe in that. Unless, of course, it's part of a ploy to promote this new cancer vaccine that Pfizer is going to be pushing. And I believe trials have just started. So are they going to take this mRNA shot and miraculously recover to encourage everybody who is suffering from cancer to do the same, only to find that it's as damaging as the original COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, which caused those cancers in the first place. It wouldn't surprise me because they're desperate to kill us all off. Now I'll quickly go through what is going on with the COVID scamdemic. And interesting that lawsuits are being filed both in the UK and there's one in progress in the US. Andrew Bridgen, who's MP for West Leicestershire and others, has filed a criminal case with the Metropolitan Police in London and has requested a meeting with them with a whole list of doctors who have been revealing all the adverse reactions and deaths who have been shut down by the media and this denial of all this, of course, in the government, in the health service, even though they have the data to prove it. So we'll see what happens with that. Unfortunately, the Metropolitan Police are known for ignoring criminal cases when it's not convenient to the establishment. The other case that's in the news relates to the Pfizer fraud case. This is from Exposing the Darkness, Lioness of Judah on Substack. Collusion cover-up. Department of Justice intervenes in Pfizer fraud case in a corrupt attempt to shut the case down. The United States Department of Justice is attempting to shut down the Pfizer fraud case scheduled for April 17th. The lawsuit alleges that Pfizer-BioNTech violated the False Claims Act during their clinical trials and knowingly delivered a defective product to the world. Former employee Brooke Jackson, who worked at Ventavia Research Group, a company that conducted some of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine clinical trials, is suing Pfizer, her former employer Ventavia, and another Pfizer contractor, Icon plc. The DOJ asked the court to dismiss the lawsuit, claiming it will be inconsistent with their public health policy. The DOJ's motion to dismiss cites a flimsy hypothesis authored by the FDA, which supports the faulty vaccines and contradicts Jackson's claims of fraud and negligence. The United States Department of Justice just made a brazen attempt to shut down the Pfizer fraud case that is scheduled for April 17th before the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Texas Beaumont Division. The lawsuit alleges that Pfizer-BioNTech violated the False Claims Act during their clinical trials and knowingly delivered a defective product to the world. This fraud has undoubtedly cost American taxpayers billions of dollars and has led to an untold number of injuries from the COVID-19 countermeasure, including permanent disability and death among my fellow citizens, Jackson said. At a March 8th presentation of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation, one of the lawyers representing Jackson spoke about the extent of the fraud. Any and every form of fraud they, Pfizer, could commit, they did, said Robert Barnes. Jackson discovered it, uncovered it, and went through the appropriate internal review protocols and assumed that people would correct the defects, Barnes said. And instead of that occurring, she was summarily fired. The DOJ already revealed their partiality in this case when they asked the court to dismiss the lawsuit. The United States should not be required to expend resources on a case that is inconsistent with its public health policy, the DOJ said in its motion to dismiss. If the DOJ's public health policy includes shutting down investigation and covering up evidence of Pfizer's fraud, then the government agency itself is suspect in a much grander investigation of fraud and medical malfeasance. The very agencies that are meant to hold corporations accountable cannot willfully act in the best interest of those corporations and refuse to hear the evidence of why these vaccines were a failure from the start. With this arrogant move, the DOJ seeks to dismiss well-cited claims of fraud. With this suspicious act, the DOJ seeks to shut down evidence of injustices that were waged against the people of the United States. This is corruption at its finest, and the fight must go on. And once again, the conspiracy theorists were right. In another report by the Gateway Pundit, this was published on the 22nd, FDA loses its war on ivermectin, agrees to remove all related social media content and consumer advisories on ivermectin usage for COVID-19. Oh, they're going down like dominoes, aren't they? In December 2021, the FDA warned Americans not to use ivermectin, which is intended for animals, to treat or prevent COVID-19. Never use medications intended for animals on yourself or other people. Animal ivermectin products are very different from those approved for humans. Use of animal ivermectin for the prevention or treatment of COVID-19 in humans is dangerous, FDA said at the time. This was a very controversial statement at the time, since the FDA pushed the drug on African migrants back in 2015, and the drug was praised in several scientific journals. There have now been 101 ivermectin COVID-19 control studies that show a 62% lower risk in early treatment in COVID-19 patients. A group of brave doctors had filed a federal lawsuit against the US Department of Health and Human Services and the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, over the agency's unlawful attempts to block the use of ivermectin in treating COVID-19. The lawsuit, filed in the U.S. Southern District of Texas in Galveston, argues that the FDA has overstepped its authority and unjustifiably interfered with their medical practice. The plaintiffs, Drs. Mary Talley Bowden, Paul E. Marrick, and Robert L. Apter, are contesting the FDA's portrayal of ivermectin as dangerous for human consumption. They note that the FDA has approved ivermectin for human use since 1996 for a variety of diseases. However, they allege that with the advent of the COVID-19 pandemic, The FDA began releasing documents and social media posts discouraging the use of the antiviral drug for COVID-19 treatment. "We're suing the FDA for lying to the public about ivermectin," said Dr. Bowden. Claims were made that the initial article misrepresented the law by stating the FDA's official stance against ivermectin use without mentioning that doctors were allowed to administer the medicine. US law is cited in the complaint, including the provision that the FDA may not interfere with the authority of a healthcare provider to prescribe or administer any legally marked device to a patient for any condition or disease within a legitimate healthcare practitioner-patient relationship. On Thursday, the US Food and Drug Administration reportedly agreed to remove all its previous social media posts and consumer advisories that specifically address the use of ivermectin for the treatment or prevention of COVID-19. FDA loses its war on ivermectin and agrees to remove all social media posts and consumer directives regarding ivermectin and COVID, including its most popular tweet in FDA history. This landmark case sets an important precedent in limiting FDA overreach into the doctor-patient relationship, Dr. Bowden wrote on her social media. Emily Post News reported, the FDA agreed to delete the Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook posts from August 21, 2021 that read, "You are not a horse, you are not a cow, seriously, you all stop it." So as I said, that's another win. What it doesn't mention is the implications for the emergency use authorization of the kill shots, because that cannot be issued if there are or existing remedies or therapeutics for the particular disease that the COVID vaccines EUA was supposed to address. So this could open a whole can of worms. It's just enjoyable to see all the dominoes start to fall across the board. So again, we're winning. Keep your eye on the prize. Continue to focus on what outcomes we want to achieve. But, you know, this is a sign that all these so-called elites across the world are either being taken out by the white hats or they're succumbing to various diseases or whatever it might be. But they certainly don't have the upper hand anymore. And the response to all of these incidents on X and other social media platforms just goes to show how many more people are awakened to the corruption and the evil of the organizations and the people who have been controlling this world for so long. So I'm delighted to see it. It's great to cheer it on when we see so much of the so many losses by the deep state. And although I haven't covered it in this show, I do believe they're going to lose bigly when it comes to all these cases against Trump. So we're definitely on the right route to a victory. I'm sure of it. And I hope you're feeling the same way. So I'm going to leave it there for this week. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. I'd like to thank Nancy for producing and Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. Find him at mysticalwares.com. And just a reminder, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. So until next week, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.